What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Love and Metals podcast.
That was a little extra.
Well, we're not live, so why not be extra?
There you go.
So we're not live tonight. We're not recording live tonight, so everybody gets it at the same time.
Yeah.
Punishment dealt out.
It's because I was at the beach.
She was at the beach goofing off, and I was at home working.
You were doing all the things.
I was working.
You kind of were.
I was working hard.
Yeah, but you had fun working on the stuff you were working on.
I guess.
Oh. Then why'd you do it?
The tree was just pure anger.
Yeah. We have this crepe myrtle that sits in front of our house, and it has these pink flowers that have now decided to, like, you know, spread love everywhere. And my car being black, it's okay. It still gets dirty as hell, but your car being white, that's no bueno.
No good. No good comes from pink flowers on white car.
No.
Especially when it rains.
So I knew when I left to go out of town that that tree would probably not look the way that it did when I left. And I was completely right. It's gone.
Say bye-bye to the tree.
Just on our side of the driveway, though, because it goes on our neighbor's side.
Yeah.
But we rent our house and they don't take care of any of the landscaping. So.
As the neighbor that was moving says, oh, you took matters into your own hand. By God, I did.
Well, yeah, because they don't fix shit over here.
No, they don't. Yeah. So don't rent from the people who rent the Crystal Lake townhomes. Because
is it Carol?
I don't know who it is. I don't know.
I don't know. They've got several.
If you're in Greensboro, don't rent where we live because they won't fix shit. So
I've heard the same thing about the Battleground Apartments. They own those, and they own the other ones that are off of Horsepin Creek over there by the prolific Haley's Village.
Oh, we look there too.
No. They own them too. So apparently they don't fix shit anywhere. So
don't
rent from
them. But outside of that, yes, we...
We'll trash them in a minute.
Yeah. She went to the beach. I did what I did.
I did. My friend Jen and I have known each other for 25 years because we were in college together. And so we are celebrating our 25th friendship anniversary. Not really. We just realized it was 25.
Oh, my gosh.
But we did buy matching silver rings. She bought a thumb ring. I bought a pointer finger ring. And they're silver because, you know, 25 is silver.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we were cheesing it up. But it was fun. We had a great time. We relaxed the whole time. Super chill.
Yeah.
Had a good beach day. Had a good pool day. And then brought it on back home to our people.
Yes. And I did what I always do.
Stay busy by making stuff.
Made stuff. And I went and ate at food trucks.
That sounds like a good day.
That's what I do all the time. Yeah. Eat at food trucks. And if you don't know, if you're in the Greensboro area, we want to give a little shout out to our friends at the Rockin' Moroccan food truck.
Nicest people ever that you will literally ever meet.
They are hands down.
Yeah.
Some of the, like you said, the nicest and caring and loving people you'll ever meet.
And their food's fantastic. Like, absolutely. Even if their food was mediocre, which it's not, by the way, it's amazing.
Yes.
You'd still go see them because they are just the nicest people.
It's infectious.
Their customer service is top notch.
I'm not a typically happy person.
No, you're not. Mm-mm.
No. And they make me happy.
They do make you happy.
Every time I walk up, they're like, hey, and they're waving.
They're very sweet.
Everybody on the truck, I was like, hey. Yeah. So go check them out if you can. Check them out. I'll even drop the link in the description.
Yeah, their food's freaking
amazing. Of the podcast
amazing.
For their Instagram. Yeah, you got to check them out. If you're in
the
Greensboro area.
Tomorrow, you know.
Greensboro.
They'll go down to Kernersville, Jamestown.
Yeah, they do Jamestown. They do Kernersville.
They're out, Greensboro. Wednesday through Saturday?
Wednesday through Saturday.
Yeah, so just look
catch
for them.
Catch them somewhere. You won't be disappointed.
Nope, not in the least bit.
And they don't give us any money to say this. This is purely because I love their food.
Yeah.
Great.
It's amazing.
Food truck. Yep. Anyways. So catching up, but don't for us, we did not do and we're not doing this week. If you're catching the podcast this week of August the 1st, we're not doing our usual meet and greet.
No, we
video.
Lost our access for this week.
Yeah. access was revoked. So we'll get it back next week.
Yeah.
Hopefully. It's hard when you're not home on the weekends to record videos and stuff. But we'll get it back up. But if you haven't checked it out, go over to our YouTube page and check out the Love and Metals All Access Meet and Greet, which we will tell you is no access at all. No. It's just us telling you about our favorite songs from our favorite bands and hopefully that you'll pick them up as well. We're trying to refine that. And you can also check out the Love and Metal Meet and Greet playlist. We have four whole songs on there now. But yeah. Go and check out the songs we like from the two bands we've already talked about.
We did buy more concert tickets.
Oh, you did buy more concert tickets.
Because Chevelle's coming to Greensboro on their own ticket for the Neurotius.
Yeah, if Chevelle comes to Greensboro, you can guarantee
the girl's buying the tickets.
She's like, I'm getting tickets. And I'm like, damn it. Why are you buying tickets? I was like, you didn't let me look. Because I'm always waiting for like a meet and greet package to come up.
They didn't have one. I didn't see it.
Oh, yeah, I know.
It was just, but their tickets are always $25 or like yeah. This. I think this was like $27. You can't go wrong with that.
No, you can't beat it. You can't beat a good show.
And it
for
just means
bucks.
I get to see Pete again.
Yeah.
Within like, I don't even know, a few months of each other.
I think
I'll see outside him in a month.
I think it's outside of COVID, she sees Pete twice a year.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Sometimes three times. Yeah. It just depends. I won't see Breaking Benjamin though.
If he ever said, hey, I'm open to a relationship, she would leave me.
I would not. He's too short.
Hope Pete didn't hear that one.
Well, he is a little short.
Is he?
I mean, he could be tall, but he looks short to me.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm going to look up his height now. He's probably like 5'10", maybe. I don't know. Do you think he looks tall?
I don't know.
Well, everybody looks short to you, so it doesn't really matter, honestly. It's okay. I wouldn't leave anybody for you.
Anyways, we'll be back in a minute to...
And he's married, so...
Let
me just clarify that.
And he's married.
And I'm married too.
If he divorced his wife and said, hey.
I'm still married though. We'd have to get divorced. I wouldn't like that.
You could leave your husband and come tour the road with me. She'd probably leave me. Yep. I saw that face. Good thing we weren't live tonight. Anyways, we'll be back in a minute to carry on our series of must have conversations in relationships. And we'll be talking about the almighty dollar tonight. Money, money, money.
All about the Benjamins.
More money, more problems. I don't know. If you talk about it, it might not be. We'll be back in a minute. And that's right. We're back, whether you like it or not. And if you're still here, you probably like it. So here we are. We're back.
Yeah.
Hey, so we're going to talk about money tonight. And as I said, you know, a lot of people look at money as one of those topics that are really hard to talk about. Matter of fact, I think as many divorces probably end in infidelity, just as many end in financial issues.
Funny that you mentioned that. That is the number one, always the number one cause of divorces is money, some kind of issue with money.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the statistic is. We have the article. It mentions it in the article. It'll be in the link for our show.
Right.
But I think it's in there. Mm-hmm. If you look really quick, you might be able to scan through it. But yeah, it's like, as I was doing research for the show, I was actually really surprised to see, not surprised to get necessarily, but that was one of the top reasons for divorce was money.
Yeah.
And just not being on the same page, probably not having, you know, common goals and other things. And it's a deal breaker.
Yeah. It's really, really hard.
It's a touchy subject. It could be really, really a rough subject.
Well, cause money issues bring lots of stress.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's go to the bare necessity of things. Like when you don't have a lot of money and you're trying to pay your necessity bills, like your house and your
cars or whatever,
rent or mortgage or whatever that is, and food and electricity and clothing and those types of things. And when you don't have any extra money, and the thing is like when you have a little extra money, you can do extra stuff that kind of makes you happy. When all you're doing is working to pay the bills just to get by.
Childcare.
It really takes a toll on you.
Yeah. It's stressful.
And then when you have to have those conversations, and if you don't know how to have those conversations, mm-hmm. finances will put you in the dirt.
Yeah.
Now, when you're a couple, whether you're just starting out, whether you're just starting to date.
Yeah.
I think there, I think when we talked the last time, we talked about intimacy. We talked about, like, when do you have conversations about right. sex, or when do you have a conversation about any of these topics we're going to talk about. I think there are some general conversations you can have in the very beginning. Like we said, conversations that we're talking about is not conversations when you're having a fling or you're sleeping around or
no, these are you like just serious, starting
the Hinge. But yeah, like yeah. you go, you know what? I think we're going to be exclusive. All right, ding, ding, conversations start happening. Because absolutely. In order to be serious, you have to have serious conversations. If you don't have serious conversations, your relationship is probably not that serious.
Well, there's no reason to have these conversations if it's not going to get to that point. What's the reason for it?
No,
you know what I mean? There's no reason to spend the time doing that.
I completely agree. It's just a waste of time. Yeah. Because what happens when you break up in 2 weeks? Well, I've had all these conversations when we should have just been having fun.
Yeah.
You know, wait for right. the serious stuff that's going to break your heart or break the bank or like
yeah, if you see break potential, up
the relationship.
But even then, like if it's getting to the point where you see potential that this is the person that you're going to be exclusive with, that would be a great time to start having those conversations also. Because if you have completely different views on things, on how some of this is handled, some of these topics that we have, mm-hmm. that could be a deal breaker for you from the get-go.
Yeah, I mean, it's like when you say, okay, we're getting serious. What are some of the things that you would probably want to talk about when it comes to finances? We didn't talk about a lot of stuff up front.
No, we really kind of didn't. I just realized that as we're sitting here talking. Well, I think because we were older, I just assumed, obviously, that we would keep things separately because where we were in the point in our lives, dealing with exes, having to pay certain things towards children, because mine's still in high school at that time, you were dealing with things with your ex. I think there were just a kind of an understanding between the two of us that we would just keep our stuff well, separately. Yeah,
but we still talked about...
We paid each other. Like we did talk about that once we moved in with each other, of course. We worked out how we would
well,
pay.
Even before that, I think there's conversations as in when it comes to money, like we talked about, like we did, like we when we were together, like you bought dinner one time and then I'd buy dinner one time. And that's still dealing with money. Like how do you, like every time you go out to eat, does the guy buy the dinner? Not trying to be chauvinistic, but I mean, that's the mentality of thinking. We split because we knew we would go out to eat at that time two or three times a week, whether it was lunch. Because
we had two places. So you paid your full-time rent and I pay my full-time rent. We did not split rent until we moved in together.
Yeah.
So at that point in time, it was kind of like figuring out who had money at the time. Do you have money? Then you pay for dinner. I got an extra. I just got paid.
Yeah.
Especially with you getting paid.
But
like
we talked about money in the sense that, you know, we knew we both had our own bills.
We knew we had cars. I mean, we knew we had those
things. Yeah, we both had
own
bills and they were separate because, of course, we were dating.
Yeah.
As the relationship progressed, I think one of the things we both talked about was like, hey, I think the other thing in finances that people tend to skip over because they think about bills and or paying for dinners and stuff like that is like, you don't have an issue with money. Like, you don't have a gambling problem. You don't have...
Well, that was huge for me.
An excessive shopaholic problem. You know, you... I know you spend
within
money.
Within your means.
Right. You know, you're not like going broke every, you know, your paycheck comes in today and it's gone tomorrow type of thing. And you're looking to have to borrow money. You're not an excessive money borrower or something like that. Mm-mm. I mean, those are things that I think when the relationship turns serious, you need to know because you need to know what type of person, what type of spender they are, what type of bill payer they are. Not that
and
you
also
gotta
figure, what kind of debt they have.
Well, yeah. And not that, well, I mean, maybe not. Too soon,
yeah, but I mean, working on it. I mean, like too soon. But I mean, we knew that we both had things that we were working towards. I mean, we were very open with each other.
Well, you know, when you get to the age we are with, and you know, I have kids upon kids, and you have a kid, and we both have exes. You know, we're coming out of divorces. So you know, there's an amount of like
taking
risk.
Care of things. Yeah, yeah.
There's amount of risk that comes with or risk of debt that comes with that,
absolutely.
Which we both know.
Yeah,
but it's. Are you handling your shit type of thing?
Yeah. You know, are you borrowing money from family members all the time because you run out of the shit that you're at? Like, how are you handling your stuff?
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And we had conversations about...
We sure did.
About how we did things and stuff. And I know...
I also knew, too, that you were taking care of yourself because even though we weren't living together, I was still paying my rent and all of my stuff and you were still paying your rent and all your stuff. So we both knew kind of the way that we were already that we were handling our stuff well. Do you know what I mean?
So, but I think those are good conversations.
But still good to have conversations.
It's a good conversation to have in the beginning when you're like, okay, I think I'm going to be exclusive with this person. How does this person spend money? How does this person...
How do they pay bills?
How do they manage their money? And it's not like, hey, bruh, how do you how do you handle your money? Do you got like auto drafts? Are you paying it by check? Do you have a budget plan? Do you have a spreadsheet? Like, you balance your checkbook every week? Are you just dependent on like your bank to send you alert? I mean, how does it work for you?
Yeah. Are you like surprised each month that bills are due?
Like, yeah. Like, you know, I think responsibility.
Do you wait for each of your due dates to pay the bill and then you hope for the best at the end of the month when those bills are due. I mean, like, there's people that'll like hold out.
Well, it depends on how your check comes because everybody gets checked differently.
Sure, like, yours is different.
So I pay
you have your set up that way. So you know what to pay that month and you know what to pay. I mean, you have it set up to where it works for you.
Well, but being very analytically organized is a thing. Yeah. You know, spreadsheet, everything's. Electronic.
That's when I knew I loved you, baby. When I saw your spreadsheet, when we sat down, like when we were first together, we both sat down at the beginning of the month and paid our bills and we both get on our computers and open up to an Excel spreadsheet. And there it is. Yours is there and mine's there. And I was like,
yeah,
oh, this man pays bills like I do. I love him for it.
But you know, I'm not a, like, if you go back, like I know I met people who were check balancers. Like, they have a check register, and they, like, everything goes in that register. Like,
yeah, I can't do that.
I'm not that person. Now, look, I have a spreadsheet for my bills, but it is just...
Just so I remember to pay them.
Well, it's just for my bills, but I can keep track of, like, balances, and I can keep track of, like, okay. And it does. It's a helpful reminder. So, I know I get paid. I'm a bi-weekly get paid.
Yeah,
I get paid bi-weekly.
At the end of the last day
so,
of the month.
So, you know, I get, on average, 2 checks a month.
Yeah. Sure.
So I have all my bills split in half, and I've adjusted dates so that I don't get caught with a late fee.
Right.
But I've also moved things around, like, okay, so maybe I have something at the very, very end of the month, and it kind of teeter-totters on a first check of the month. So I either pay it at the mid-month or I pay it at the first month. I've moved them, even though it might be a month early. I moved them around, and then also,
just so that you
know,
you can pay them.
So, but anyways, we'll talk more about like bill paying in a second, but I've done those things, and we talked about those things because it is kind of like if you're like me and my ex, she's a check balancer. She's everything's on paper. It worked well. I mean, let's be honest. Our finances worked because she was a workaholic at it. You know, she wasn't like a math whiz or anything. She just kept everything on paper, and that worked for her. I tried doing it, like taking it over with her system, did not function in my head. The way she did it didn't work for me.
Yeah.
So that's when I created spreadsheets, and I'm like, oh,
yeah, this I've always works used a spreadsheet.
So,
but I was the one that was taking control. I did the money in my house.
Yeah.
Because
I didn't for a long time. And then when the separation started to happen, I was like, oh, maybe I need to do some things. But it worked. And also, I mean, you got to think over times for us who are like, we're encroaching 50. You know, we went through times where there was no online banking. There was
Well, I mean, that's the beauty of it. Now you can, we could literally log into an app and see your balance.
So paying bills in the beginning was
an arduous task. Oh, yeah. And you had to keep up with it.
You sat down for 2 or 3 hours at a time and you wrote checks and you put them in a mail slip and you sent them in the mail. And, you know, there was an amount of things that had to happen for a bill to get paid. Now I'm like, oh, it's the first. And I open my apps. And I click my password, and I click pay, and it goes through. Anyways.
Yeah, it's
so
great.
I mean, so in the beginning, I think some conversations, you should probably not shy away from them. And
I think you can intuitively pick up, too. I mean, especially if you're going out, you see what kind of money somebody's spending, or if they're going shopping or spending weekends in places. Well, you know what I mean? You kind of get an idea of what people are spending.
I don't know if a conversation about how much money you make in the beginning is the conversation you need to have. Like,
well, no,
because you might be dating somebody who's dropping $100 dinners every night, but they're making like 6 figures.
Yeah.
So they can do that.
Yeah.
You know,
but you just get an idea for somebody. I mean, you knew I was a teacher, so you knew I wasn't rolling in anything.
Well, yeah. And you knew I wasn't rolling in it either. So, but at the same time,
when you
though,
find out what their job is, though, if you kind of get an idea, I mean, sort of, kind of.
But you'd be surprised. I mean,
But if people are good with their money, it doesn't really matter what their job is. Yeah. It's how they spend their money.
But
and
I think
how they
some simple conversations. Some conversations.
Well, like figuring out who's going to pay for what. That would be understandable.
I think also having some simple conversations about finances is to see how they react to conversations about finances.
Yeah.
Because some people just get threatened by it. Some people do not like having those conversations. And they have to be open. I mean, it's like we said, every conversation you have that we're talking about, these must-have conversations, there is a level of vulnerability that needs to be had when it comes to those. And I think where we were talking about intimacy and sex, you know, where that's a high level of vulnerability, I think people are more tend to slip into that, being vulnerable and for that conversation, than people slipping in to be vulnerable for finance conversations.
Yeah,
I think finances are still a high risk conversation.
Yeah,
so
it can
you,
be.
You have to think about, you know, where you go with that. So I think having simple conversations about like who pays, or, you know, what's your idea? Like, how do you pay bills? Like, are you an online guy? Are you a check guy? You know, what do you do?
Yeah.
You know, and then see how they react to those conversations may help you understand how to have the bigger conversations later
on. Good
so
point.
Now you're getting into like, okay, so what are some conversations we really, really need to have? And let's just say you've been exclusive. Hell, you might be thinking about getting married. You are married. If you're serious that this person is going to be the one, whether you're dating forever, boyfriend, girlfriend, marriage, whatever it is, now
you're in for the long haul.
Yeah. Now these are conversations I think you have to have, and you need to have them before shit like hits the fan.
Yeah, agreed.
Because the last conversation we're going to talk about is shit hitting the fan.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I don't think these are in any order, but I think we'll just talk about how you pay your bills first.
Okay, sure.
And I think once you understand this, you can get into the other conversations. I think a conversation of how you pay your bills. Now, we talked about how we pay our bills. We both pay our bills in a similar way. We have a spreadsheet. The spreadsheet is broken up, and for me, it's broken up into two portions. First check of the month, second check of the month.
Yeah.
And I have, like, so for my car payments, I have a loan, a personal loan, and a couple of car payments. And I take both of the, all three of those loans, and I split them. So I pay half of it first of the month, and I pay half of it in the second of the month. I do it for two reasons. One, it eases the burden of, like, a big chunk of money coming out in one check.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you could pay the loans off quicker. Because
you get an extra payment in, right?
Well, it's not an extra payment, but the way you're paying you're paying
principal.
Less interest.
Yeah,
you're paying less
interest
each month, and you're paying more principal, so it goes down quicker.
Okay.
So, like, for one of the cars I pay, I've been doing that since the beginning, and I noticed that it drops quicker than the car I'm paying on, my other car that I was paying on. I've been paying on one car longer that I've been paying one payment a month.
Gotcha.
Whereas the second car, I paid half of it up front, half of it in the at the end. And it just like,
it's just rolling down.
So I'm seeing now I've changed everything to that.
Okay.
But it also, like I said, it alleviates, like, you know, if you got a $500 and a $300 bill that you're paying at the end of the month, and the first of the month you have a little bit more left over. So instead of doing that, you spread the wealth out a little
bit. Yeah, understandably. So,
and these are things, like, I get that.
Yeah, like, some people don't.
And what if you was having a conversation, like, that's what I'm saying. How do you pay your bills? Like, you get paid once a month. So all your bills.
So I literally pay all my bills the first of the month, and then whatever is left over is what I have for the remainder of the month.
And see, we were also talking about, like, people who wait till the due date to pay their bills. And it's like, what if something happens during the month? Like, that's why, like, for me, I pay twice a month, but I pay the moment it happens.
Yeah.
Why? Because if you forget, you get hit with a late fee.
Absolutely.
Like, for example, like, last month, at the second half of the month, I pay all my bills, but one of my accounts had maintenance. And it was like for 2 days, I went back 2 or 3 days in a row, and they had maintenance. Their site was down. So I'm like, all right, I got to go back. But some things happened. I forgot. And I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I paid it late. So now I got a $25 late fee.
Right.
I hate that they do that. Like, I hate that I forgot to go back and check. But, you know, when I went to pay it, their site was down.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things, like, things will happen. Like, something like that will happen. So now your next month's bill higher. That's why I always try to pay everything up front so you don't get caught slipping. Because if you have late fees, you get interest charged on top of the late fees because they add.
Oh,
I mean, there's so many things that compound.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And don't get me wrong. I have not always been great with money. I was terrible as a kid because I didn't have any.
Yeah.
So when I became a teenager and just got out of the house, I didn't know how to act with money.
Sure.
Because I wasn't taught how to
manage money.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you're poor, like if you come from a poor
background.
I had a
dad who was an accountant. Yeah, you, we had no choice.
Yeah. But if you come from a household where it's not a lot of money in you don't see a lot of money coming through you.
No, so I didn't. I mean, my dad just taught us how to do those things.
But like, but you had a dad who was financially
understanding of it. Well, right. I mean, that was his job. But yeah, I mean, I was fortunate enough to know how to do that. There's
so
no excuse
I had
for
to
us
learn
not to know.
Through,
yeah, you had to learn on your
own. My ex was the one who taught me a lot about how to manage money.
It's tricky. It's
plus, when
really
you don't have money and then you get some money, whether it's not, you don't have to get a lot of money. You just get some money.
Yeah.
Then you don't know how to act with it. You're like, I'm buying everything. Oh, I want that. I ain't going to wait. Fuck it. I'm going to buy that. I don't give a shit. I ain't going. But and then you realize, oh, damn, I ain't got no money. Why do you only have any money? Look at your bank accounts.
Yeah.
See what you're spending
Roll
it on.
Through it.
There's a lot of good things, like a lot of banking, like if we're talking about paying bills and stuff, like my bank. My ex bank, like it categorizes.
Yeah, you showed me that. That was really
like,
cool.
And then you can go to like a dashboard and it shows you where your money's being spent at.
Yeah.
I love that. Now there's a couple of apps out there like Mint and Truebill.
Truebill, that's what
it was. I might give a recommendation to those later. I need to research them a couple more, but I've been looking at them because I thought about this.
Yeah, because our new bank does not have that.
No,
and
I was like, this would be a really good thing to like, if I really want to get down into my budget and watch things, this is one of those things. And this
going is going out to eat. I can already tell you that.
Well, yeah, we already know our biggest extra expenditure is going out to eat. If you notice by watching, looking at our Instagram, but
alcohol, beverages and food trucks.
Yeah, absolutely. But we know that's something we do together. That's something we're okay with. We have conversations. Okay. This week we're not eating out.
Yeah, we literally did. We're like, we got to start cutting back because we got lazy with our food for a while. And
but
so
this
we're
is,
like, no.
These are bills. Food is a bill. You know, groceries is a bill. Gas is a bill. Insurance. All these things are bills. Your rent. Hell, buying concert tickets. All these extra things. What you spend your money on should be talked about, especially as a couple.
Yeah.
Because there's some people who just buy shit and don't tell your partner. And then you're like, whoa, where's the money at?
I did buy concert tickets. I hadn't told you after the fact, but I also worked my ass off all summer. Knew I had extra money. Yeah, so.
So we're going to go from how you pay your bills into combining efforts, like having a conversation about do we have a shared bank account?
Yes. Yeah, so
or do we keep them
separate?
We
until literally this month we had separate bank accounts. We had a discussion based upon we could tie in the other. One with goals because this kind of ties into why we did what we did.
Right. But we can talk about like combining efforts.
But yeah, so, but our goals were that we wanted to work towards because we're running a house right now. We want to look at and think about our next steps once we're done running. So that led us to the conversation of, you know, you've got your stuff, I've got my stuff. There are times in the month because of the way that we get paid that, you know, I feel like I'm running out of money. Like, I'm like, I don't understand how I have all this money left over, but I don't have money. There's times when you felt the same way. And so we discussed about, would it make more sense for us to have a joint bank account?
Yes. And I think
because of the way that you're paid and the way that I'm paid.
So we first realized that, okay, we know how we pay bills. We've seen each other pay bills. We've talked about it extensively. And we've even showed each other like, you know, I'm doing this and I'm doing this.
Yeah, because I've asked you for help for. I'm like, what the fuck am I doing that I can't, that I literally have no money?
Right.
And then I'm like, oh, okay, I see why. Because what we were doing with yours, like we talked about you splitting up. So if he owed me $800 for all of our bills that we do together, you'd pay me $400 at the beginning of the month. And basically you were my savings account for the end of the month.
Right. So So we knew how we paid bills and we decided, okay, so let's start talking. So first we said, let's start talking about, do we do it? We've talked about having a shared account, but we was like, what's the timing on that? Because like you said, because of the divorce, I'm paying.
Yeah. My daughter's getting ready to go to college. I'm going to have that incurred.
Right. And then I have bills that I pay for my ex because those are things that we all have worked out. So it's like, you get to the point where it's like, okay, so I don't want to do this shared bank account, like, and then I'm pulling money out to do this, this, and this. So we looked at all our bills and said, okay, does this work? And then we said, okay, we're going to do it. Now let's work out. So first thing we did is like, do we want to get it? So first
is
thing,
it beneficial for us to do it? I mean, that was one of my things too. Well, is it going to work for us to do it?
Well, we decided that, we want to do it. But first we said, do we want to have it a joint account?
Right.
So we said, yes, we want to have a joint account. So we went ahead and got the account.
Yeah.
Now in getting the account, before I set up my direct deposit to go to the account so we can have all the money in one pot, we figured out what does bill paying for us look like? So again, nerds we are, we built a spreadsheet, and it was it. I think it's good. This is good practice. We're not Dave Ramsey, and we're not going to show you how to like be the best money makers or the best money savers. But we the tips that and tricks that we can give you is that a spreadsheet works because a spreadsheet can show you everything you're spending for bills. Like if you just go first, let's look at the things that come out of our check.
Yeah, straight away.
Like rent, electricity, water, your credit cards, your cars,
loans,
your loans, whatever things that you have. So we what we did is we
whatever.
Like she pays everything at the first of the month. I pay twice, so I split it in half. I said I've got now. This is thinking that we have all our money going into one account for 1 month.
Right.
So we did split the month in half. Mm-hmm. We took all her bills.
Just throw them at the front, which I knew I could pay for.
Except for a couple of things that we said, okay, you know what? We can move the water or the electricity down the second month. Yeah,
because those are really due at the end of the month, and I was
Yeah, so you were prepaying them.
Yeah.
Or we were paying them late.
I did pay one of them late, yeah.
So we were adjusting them. So what we did is we took, you put your checks in, so that's your money coming in, which this is not rocket science for anybody, and then you put all your bills. And then as the column goes down, so all your bills add up, and you subtract it from your money that comes in, and it shows you what you have left over. Now, this doesn't include the food you buy. This doesn't include the gas you buy and all your little extras. This is just
the stagnant your bills, stuff every month. Yeah.
The things that you know are coming every month. So we did all that, and we looked, and we go, oh, we actually have, we're actually going to save more money or have more money left over together.
Than we were separately.
Than separately. And it seems weird to say that, but it's because, but this is what happens. So when you say, okay, now it looks feasible, we can do it.
Yeah.
Then you combining your efforts, understanding how you pay bills and you combine your efforts. If you love each other and if you have respect for each other, you go, okay, now we're putting all this money together. I take even more care of where I spend and what I do. Because when it was just my money or when it was just her money, it's like, you know, I want to buy a new light for my camera.
I bought a lot of shit on eBay by myself.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to buy a new pair of running shoes, even though I don't need these for like 2 months. Yeah. Or I want a new microphone. So I bought a new microphone, you know, it's those things like, careless. Because it's your money.
Yeah. And you're going to handle it.
So you do what you want with it. But then together. When you combine it, you have to be a little more respectful of what you spend and what you save. And then you actually end up saving more because, you know, you're like, oh, so we're,
do I really need this? Like, is it benefiting us as a couple?
Well, and at the same time, it's like now you have to have more conversations about your finances. Yeah, like, hey, absolutely. I'm going to buy this or hey, I'm going to do this. You know, like I got to get my oil changed and stuff. That's technically a necessity, but you still go, hey, I'm doing that this week.
Yeah, like I told you.
Because it's like $100.
I did it today.
Like, I got to go spend $100 this weekend.
$72.
Yeah, so I got to, because I have to.
Well, hell, I even did this thing. I was like, oh, we got to start wearing ID badges at school. I just want to let you know that I got an ID badge coming and something else. I mean, it's $12, but still it's being respectful and being like, hey.
Yeah. So in combining your efforts and learning how you pay your bills, you have, and this all comes from understanding having common goals. Mm-hmm. And like a common goal for us is we want to buy a house.
Yeah.
So therefore, what do we need to do to buy a house? Well, we need to save some money. Which goes into whole savings thing. And how do we do that?
And that was what kind of prompted us also to kind of look at putting our money together too, because we thought it would be much easier as a couple to, as a, to turn over one bank account of information, one thing to say, this is how much money we make as a couple. You know what I mean? Otherwise, well, it's, plus, I mean, they will do it. Anyways,
it's convenient,
but it's just
too,
convenient.
Because like I get it. There's some people who split bills. Like there was a point where like,
oh my God, we were Venmoing each other like crazy.
Well, I mean, yeah, we were Venmoing back and forth, but there's people who like, so like I know a couple who, you know, he pays for the mortgage and she pays the water, electric, blah, blah, blah. Right?
Yeah, there's been people that do that.
Like when they go out to eat, he pays for the drinks and she buys the food or
whatever. They've just come up with something. Yeah. Oh yeah. And we'll do that with groceries. I got it this beginning of the month because I had more money, but you got it in the middle of the month because whatever reason.
But it was like, you're having to keep track of the convenience of having just one account. And then you're like, oh, what card am I using today? Oh, it doesn't matter. We got the same account.
Yeah, it has been a lot easier.
But, you know, when you talk about like your common goals for finances, you know, what is it? What is the common goals? What do you want to do? Or is it you setting yourself up for retirement? Are you setting yourself up to buy a house? Maybe it's a new car.
Tackling debt.
Tackling debt. I mean, that's a conversation. Let's be honest. Tackling debt is a conversation everybody needs to have. You know, and it starts with the individual, especially if you're coming into a relationship. If you're already married and you have debt together as married, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But if you have individual debt,
right,
you know, how are you handling that? And can we handle that together? Because, and are it, or I'm sorry, is your significant other comfortable with helping handling your debt?
Yeah.
That's the other thing. It's like, you combine your efforts, like we combined our efforts. We put, now we are both paying for each other. I mean, even though our own money covers our own debt.
Yeah, but we're both covering debt. But then, like, we have a plan for ourselves also. Our common goal is that we're saying, okay, now we even put in the spreadsheet what I have on my credit cards and things that you have. So, and our goal together now is to be like, okay, this one is only $125 balance. We're paying that off this month. Call that done. This one we're going to tackle. We're going to get, so we have a game plan. Mm-hmm. Not that we're in huge debt, because we're not.
No.
But I mean, just to handle the piddly stuff that we have that's just laying around. But now, because I would never get anywhere on my own, nor would you.
But now we are able
But now to we do can work together to and collectively do that.
And it's,
which is only going to benefit us as a couple.
Right. And having these conversations as a couple in a relationship, this conversation can, like, having these conversations open and being able to be level-headed about your conversations can save your relationship too.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Because we know relationships end in divorce from finances. Now, there's some things you can't have. I mean, there's some things that just can't be overlooked.
Like, well, like medical bills or things like that happen unexpectedly. I mean, there's some things that are just going to out of your control, and you just have to be prepared to work.
There's things that can't be reconciled, like, you got somebody who has a huge gambling problem. You got somebody who has a huge drug problem. You know, somebody who just spends money just to spend money, or they got a huge car addiction problem. You know, there's things that people just cannot get away from because they're going to spend money there, and they just keep spending it.
Yeah, I don't even know how you control that.
Yeah.
That's just beyond.
But, I mean, there's help, but at the same time, is the relationships, you know,
that's when one person just has to take control of the relationship. There has to just be like, you're done with that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, out of experience somewhat.
So that's the part of how do we handle this? And common goal, I mean, let's say this, you need to save your marriage, save your relationship and your significant other. And I go to gambling because gambling is a major financial issue. So it's like, look, are we going to stay together? You have a problem. Do you know you have a problem? Yes, I know I have a problem. Common goal is you got to get help, and then we got to figure out how not to fall into this trap anymore.
And how to fix ourselves out of this.
Right.
So which is what my ex and I did, because that's somewhat similar. And we entered a debt consolidation program and worked together, even though we were separated, to pay off our debt.
Right. So that leads you into, like, the question, like the last... It's not the last conversation. There's so many conversations about finance you can have, but the conversation that you need to have when it gets bad is you got to ask yourself, when do we need to get help? When do we need to bring somebody in who knows more about money than we do to help us to get where we need?
Yeah, because we were just not getting there.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, it doesn't have to, like, you don't have to hire a financial planner. You can talk to other people who are smarter about money than you are. And that's what I did.
I would go to my dad. Yeah, I would totally go to my dad.
That's what I did. I just talked to people I knew who handled money well. And I'm like,
and we're savvy about it.
Or I ask people, like, but if you need to get real help, there are plenty of people out there that you can, unfortunately, you have to pay for these people. But,
well, unless you can do debt consolidation, a lot of those companies don't charge you anything. Well, the one we use did not charge us anything. They just set up a payment plan for us because they get money in the long run. I didn't give a shit that they got their money. They just helped us get out of debt.
But again, somebody, and I use Dave Ramsey because he's one of the guys.
He's great. His information's awesome.
He's one of the guys that I've seen a lot of. Emails. There's a lot of people out there that can tell you about how to manage your money. Way smarter than we are. We're not going to tell you how to manage your money. We're just going to tell you to have conversations with your partner so you can end up in a good relationship. That's what we're about. Yeah. Have good conversations to have a good relationship.
Yeah.
When you get to that place in your relationship and you can have these conversations, you can talk about how you pay your bills. That's honestly the easy conversations, you know, usually come when you realize I do this and I do it well. So I want to talk about it. If you're having issues paying your bills, then you probably should have a conversation with somebody that can help you so you can learn how to pay your bills. And you might never see it in the beginning, but you might have that significant other who's just the perfect match for you because they'll help you
understand how to do it and to do it straight. Yeah.
I mean,
absolutely.
you know, for us, like, I can go on for hours about money and what you can do to be better at it, because that's all I've tried to do in my life is to, like, I have a problem, right? I have this huge problem of wanting to spend money.
Yeah.
Now, I pay my bills. My bills, now, if I go late on a bill, it's only because I missed it by a day.
Yeah.
Or 2 days.
Right.
But my credit history is good. Like, I might not have great credit score because I have too much debt.
Right.
But I'm like 100% paid on time. Like, yeah. Every bill's paid on time. Right. I never miss it. I will go without certain things. But if I have extra money, my problem is I've never learned how to save money.
And that's where I come in.
But, right.
Because I'm a good saver most of the time.
It's the one thing I've never learned how to do, because honestly, I never had enough money to do it.
Right. And we talked about that because I told you from the get-go, I was like, okay, this month especially, because we're getting used to things. So we're like, okay, we're just going to pay the minimum balances that we have on everything. Because we want to see what that looks like.
That's a real good conversation.
Before we start tackling other things.
When you combine your efforts.
But then I was like, I think it's really important that we just straight away start putting money over in a savings account.
Yeah.
We did $100.
Yeah,
we did $215 this month because I had more in my paycheck. But we did $100. We said $100.
Yeah, we said
each month we're going to put over $100 as if it's a bill. It's going into our savings account.
Yeah, we decided that we set an amount, and then when we realize, okay, so let's see what happens for the next couple.
Yeah,
because
we don't know yet. We don't know what that looks like, because this is our first month together. Yeah. But if it's a point where we can do more, like, we're going to do more
in 2 months. If we look and we go, okay, this is what our bank account looks like. So like
we really should have about $300 left over at the end of the month that we should move over to savings. We're buying this, or we're doing this. I mean, we'll look at those things as it comes up.
But those are all these are conversations you should have with your partner. And you should always, like, the article we originally posted when we started this series, or when we opened it up, where the article was really about conversations to have to save your relationship.
Yeah.
Right. We realized we wanted to talk about these conversations so you could get them and understand that if you're having these conversations in the beginning and you're often, like, you don't have to talk about money every week.
Save your relationship.
Right. You will avoid. Now, again,
it's the pile up. Well, it's the pile up of all the stuff because you're not talking.
Not every relationship is savable.
Yeah.
You can do all the talking in the world and some relationships are just going to end. So I can't say that every relationship will be saved.
No.
By having the conversations. But what I can say, that most relationships that end because of money issues or infidelity, or, well, I can't say infidelity is one you can talk your way out of. But, you know, if it
major
ends,
occurrences that happen in your relationship that are
affecting
it. We're
going to have more conversations that we're going to talk about. But these conversations, if they're being had, you don't fly off the handle because then you have them randomly because bad things are happening. You know what the bad things are going to be because you're already talking about them.
Yeah, we're proactively doing the work ahead of time by having the conversations instead of waiting for the big thing to happen.
Right.
And then everybody's shocked and you're dealing with a bunch of other emotions and probably can't even rationally have a conversation sometimes at that point because you're angry.
You can't think. And you're stressed because, oh my God, we're not going to be, the lights are going to get turned off.
Like, money's not going to be a surprise for us. We talk about it often. I mean, I literally, even today, I'm like, hey, I updated the spreadsheet. I already got a notification. Cool. You go look at it. I go look at it. I mean, it's just we're consciously having conversations.
We
about
know
it.
The downfalls of relationships.
Yeah,
and we're trying to work in the positive
proactively. Yes,
it's just like I tell every employee I've ever had, or every subordinate I've ever had. I was like, if you want to keep your job and you want to move up in your job and progress, have a sense of urgency for the things that matter.
Yes.
Be proactive in all the things that matter and never have to react unless there's a fire.
Yeah.
I get it.
Shit happens. Yeah, shit happens.
I mean, like, you get a ticket. Oh, shit. There's your fire. Or you get a flat tire.
Or you need new. Yeah, you need new tires.
Well,
I mean,
but
there's
you need new tires is something you can plan for.
Yeah, but like a flat tire or your fridge goes. I mean, we rent, but your appliance doesn't
work. Something happens that's out of the ordinary. Yeah. Okay, fire. You react to that, but you're reacting based off the proactivity you've already done. I've got a savings account.
Right.
Or I have a credit card that's completely paid off.
I'm going to use that.
Then we can work on paying that off.
Right.
So you've been having conversations proactively to help you in the reactive situations.
Yeah.
Damn. We should probably like really go on the road with this. Oh, we are. We're doing a podcast. I hope people are listening because I think this is fucking gold. And then we lose all the listeners.
Right. Bye.
Bye. Peace. Yeah, we heard it. Bye. Dumbass. Yeah, I think if you can take the time to have these conversations about money, little conversations up front, and I think one conversation that you need to have that we didn't talk about.
What?
The absolute most critical conversation you need to have with somebody about money. You ready for it?
Yeah.
Is how do you react when you talk about money? Like, hey, for younger people, and I mean younger, like
20s.
20s, early 30s that haven't been married, haven't had a real relationship yet. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're in your 20s and you're 6 years into a marriage, you're not a younger person to me.
Yeah, yeah, because you've already been through.
Yeah, so you've been down the road for a little bit talking about money. But
if you've been on your own and single for a while and not in a relationship and all of a sudden get into one.
But for younger people, it's going to be harder to have that conversation about how do you react to money because you don't know how you react to money conversations.
Right.
But I think it's a good conversation to have. Like, how do you feel about finances? Are you a good bill payer? I mean,
like, do you even understand any of it?
Right. How do you manage your finances? And like, how do you react to me when I say, hey, if I ask how you manage your finances, how would you feel about that question?
I would say in confidence, I know everything about my finances.
Right. But I'm saying, like, how does it make you feel if I ask you that? Right. And you
go, open book.
And you go, I'm okay with talking about my money. But what if your partner says, you know what, I'm a little uncomfortable about it. So you're going to know if somebody's uncomfortable about talking about their finances,
there
about how they manage.
There could be something
going on. No. What I'm saying is you're probably going to get a different reaction. Like,
oh, when more you difficult get into conversation, a real conversation.
Like,
oh,
if you have to have a real serious conversation about, like, our finances are fucked.
They might shut down.
They might get angry. You might have an argument.
Gotcha.
You need to find a way so that you can communicate. And these are ways you communicate about communicating about finances.
Yeah.
You have to understand how to do that.
Well, yeah. Well, you can also make ground rules, too, if you see that it's something that's an uncomfortable conversation.
We talked about it with sex.
Then set up ground rules of, like, these are things that are acceptable, you know, that we're going to discuss pertaining to us and how we're going
to
talk about it and when we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, if you're moving into a relationship, like heavy relationship, you have to have real conversations. But if your person is, like, teed off every time you talk about money, then there may be a problem there, one, but two, they just might not know how to talk about it. So you got to have the conversation about how to talk about money. Like we talked about.
There could be embarrassment. I mean, like some people are very sensitive when it comes to debt. You know what I'm saying? Like it could be very sensitive when it regards to, like, you know, this is debt I have. They don't feel comfortable sharing that. Like, you know what I mean?
Are
they
going to
be judged for what I have?
Yeah. You feel like you have a problem.
For what I've done.
I've got a lot of debt and damn, I feel bad for it. I don't know how to stop it because I feel like I'm doing it just to get by. You know, sometimes you have all these things in your head,
sure,
but you don't know how somebody else can react. So you do, you shut down or you're insecure about it. But it's just like we talked about with sex. Like you need to have like, what's okay to talk about? How do you feel talking about sex? Well, how do you feel about talking about money? And then you can feel like, okay, so if you start again, I think in every conversation we talk about, we're going to have this little bit of a conversation at the end. Have a real conversation with your significant other saying, how do you feel when we talk about this? Mm-hmm. And what can we do to make these conversations
comfortable for both of us
that we don't feel like we need to get on edge and come to a place of argument or insecurity
defensiveness
to move away from the conversation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think
like what's the shutdown part? Like where can we avoid a shutdown in any way, whether it's emotionally shutting down or
right,
getting angry, you know, whatever the case might be. I guess it's emotional too, but you know what I'm saying? Like where's the shut off? Like where's the point where we can push to this point, but we can't go any farther. We should, you know, that kind of thing.
So in all that said we was going to do a short episode tonight.
We did.
No, we didn't.
Oh, fuck. Well, sorry about that.
No, and that's the thing. When you have real conversations that are good for your relationship, none of them are going to be short and they're going to take time. And money is one of those things where it's very important. We're like, oh, we're going to run in there and we're going to record an episode real quick. Probably 20 minutes. Probably do a 20-minute back-end episode and we're out.
Well,
and
we did talk about some things in a different way than I thought we originally were going to. So I think that's great, though. I think our conversation was very productive in sharing those things.
But in our conversation on the show, talking to everyone who's listening, yeah, we've had these conversations. And as we're talking about them, you realize, wow, there's so much more.
It's more in depth than you really think it is.
It's always more in depth.
Yeah, it's tied to more things.
Because if your relationship's important,
yeah,
and it's something you want to build on, you're going to realize how in depth these conversations will actually get. And let me tell you something. I think we said it before in about how we have conversations. Mm-hmm. The best way to have the conversation is find the place you're most comfortable doing it at.
Yes.
If it's in a car riding around and all you're doing is talking, because I think, you know why I think car conversations are great?
Why?
Car conversations are great because the driver's focusing on the road, mm-hmm, and paying attention to that. The passenger's probably focusing on the road as well. Mm-hmm. But so your brain is not so caught up just in the conversation where you get mad. Don't get me wrong. I've had arguments in the car while I drove, but
not with me.
Yeah, not with you. But
I whispered that.
But saying that,
I think it's more of a stream of consciousness when you're talking with each other. Like you're less inhibited because right, we have some really good conversations while we're driving. You can't have
conversations in front of the TV.
No.
Because you're distracted with the TV. But when you're on the road,
it's just different.
You hear
going
each
a long
other
car ride and like take this list once we get done with all of our conversations and tick these babies off on a car ride.
Yeah, just our favorite thing to do is try to find something to eat and have conversation. Because what we realize is like, hey, you start off with, what do yeah you want to eat? And of course, everybody knows that conversation. Like, I think every couple
what do you want? Has a
I don't know what I want tonight. Tell me what you want. And then we'll have that question hit and then we'll have a conversation. And then we're like in the middle of conversations like, hey,
we really got to figure out where we're going to go eat.
Do you really want to know the number one conversation you need to have with your wife or husband or significant other or whatever you have? Is let's figure out how to decide what to eat before we get in the car. Have that real conversation.
Figure that one out. Let
have that
know
real conversation because you really want to save your marriage. You want to save your dating relationship. You want to save a relationship in period. Figure out how to decide what to eat. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah. The good part is we like everything. So yeah, it's always fine. We're always wherever's the least amount of weight is normally what our pick is.
So we hope this helps you in some way. And that you can take some of our advice and our conversation that we've had tonight and apply it to your relationship. Maybe it will help your relationship grow stronger. Maybe it will help save your relationship. Or maybe it will help put your relationship on the right path. And if not, shoot us up and tell us we're a bunch of assholes who don't know nothing. And we'll be okay with that. You can check us out at the Love and Metal podcast page on our Instagram. You can check us out on Facebook as well.
Yeah.
We have a TikTok. Please, God, go to the YouTube channel and subscribe. I'm like, I'm begging you. Like, I'm like groveling. Go
if
subscribe
you
to our
like
YouTube page.
Our YouTube page, we will give you a shout out on our next episode of our podcast.
That's
and
right.
Thank you for it.
That I'll tell you what. Subscribe, screenshot it, and DM it to us, or post it on Instagram, and
we'll send tag you some us surprise. In it.
And when we work out the new merch stuff, we'll send you something.
Yeah.
But you got to do
hell,
it.
I'll send you a Starbucks gift card.
What?
You can send Starbucks gift cards over the Instagrams.
What? How much?
Like a $5 gift card.
What?
But just one person. I'll do a drawing. How about that? You want me to do a drawing?
Okay.
We'll see how many we get.
We'll work on this. By next week, we'll have an idea.
But if you do it in the meantime, screenshot it anyways to us and we'll save you.
Yeah. Because you may win something. We don't know what yeah the hell that's going to be. But I like it.
I got ideas.
I got some ideas, too. We're going to be giving some stuff away, but it's going to be blood, sweat, and tears poured into it. Yes. We'll see what's coming. Anyways, if you listen to the show this far and you heard all this, then just go on over to wherever we posted the link for this podcast and say, hey, I heard all the shit you was talking in. You better live up to it. Anyways, so we're glad you joined the show. We're glad you helped us out in just gaining one more listener. Share it somewhere. Like it. We're begging, of course.
If you're on Apple's podcast, you can always hit that 5-star button for us. We'd appreciate it. Helps us grow the show.
Word. And always remember, just like we try to do each week, no matter what we do, live life loud and bold.
And mediocrity is not an option for us, and it shouldn't be for you.
Peace, people.